I'm going to tell you a brief story that hopefully I can connect into the reading today. If not, then it's just a nice story. Back when I was probably 25 years old, 26, my sister, who's 7.5 years younger, would have been about 19, maybe 20, just a little bit younger than Morgan. Okay, so think of Morgan, think of Steve and Kim as I'm telling this story. And my mom and dad were probably about Steve and Kim's age. And imagine if Morgan came to her mom and dad with this request. Renee comes to my sister Renee, who you've met. Renee comes to them and announces that she and her boyfriend and her boyfriend's best friend and her boyfriend's dog are getting in a pickup truck and they're driving to Mexico. Okay, how do you think that sat with my mom and dad? Sure, Morgan, have a good time. They were obviously, what? No, you're not going to get in a pickup truck, go off with your boyfriend and his best friend and a dog and go to Mexico? So what did my sister do? Went to grandma. Oh. Needed wise counsel. So she went to grandma and talked this through with grandma. And basically, grandma green-lighted her. So she went to Mexico with her boyfriend and her dog and whatever and came back and decided she really didn't like her boyfriend after all of that and dumped him. I only bring that story up, hopefully can hopefully explain why I brought that up. Our second reading today talks about Scripture, and Scripture being good for inspiration and to refutation and yada, 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 and, proclaiming the word and all those kinds of things. For any of you that have ever given a homily, Father Greg, Steve are here, Mark, I don't know if there's other folks that have given a homily. You sit down, you read the Scripture, you try to apply it to daily life, etc. You know, when you come up and you... For me, the reflections, the homilies usually fall into one of two categories. One I would call more of a mystical or a spiritual, or how do we try to understand this great mystery that is God, given our finite nature and God's infinite nature. How do we do that? The other, I would call spiritual practical application to daily life. So you have more of the mystical contemplative stuff that we talk about, and then stuff that you apply to your active daily life. Today what I'm going to talk about is stuff that you apply to your active daily life and use this first reading that we had about Moses and Israel fighting and all of that type of thing. Because what we have here is we have Moses, and this is the same Moses that faced God down in the burning bush and came to Pharaoh and had this staff of God in his hand and fought the Pharaoh and his Egyptian sorcerers and called down 10 plagues and parted the Red Sea and took the staff of God and struck the rock and marched them all out into the Sinai desert, went up, got the 10 commandments, came down, fought with them over the golden, all of this kind of stuff. And now he's up on this mountain and he's kind of vulnerable. what's the deal with Moses up on this mountain and Aaron and Hur and these two guys holding his... He was old. He got old. What a drag, right? Those of you that are, that's happening to, he got old. His brother Aaron got old. Hur got old. They still provide leadership and wise counsel, but they weren't down there slinging the sword. You know? They weren't down there with Zoe and Alex and Eva and Morgan and all the young ones that are down there active in the struggle. What did Moses do? Provided inspiration, provided leadership, provided wise counsel. And in our culture, in our faith, Moses would have been doing this. Rather than holding up the staff of God, Moses would be doing this. But he was old. He was tired. And he had to rely on his support system around him. Some of us, when we're overwhelmed, and we don't even have to be old, we can be just overwhelmed by our tasks. I've seen this all too often, is people complain about the tasks that they have to engage in, and they're really tired by them, and then they play the victim. They try to play the poor me card. I have so much to do. But you know what? They don't reach out to the support system. They don't even allow a support system to be there. Moses had Aaron and Hur. He sat down. They held up his arms. And when he could continue to provide that wise counsel and that leadership, then the young ones that were down in the active struggle that had the strength on a daily basis to do what needed to be done, they were successful. So we look at where are we kind of in this example. Are you called to a leadership position? But realize that throughout this, even when Moses was called by God to set my people free, he said, you know, you should really pick somebody else. You know, you're making a bad choice here because I don't speak so good. And God said, don't worry, I'll get your brother to help you. From the very get-go, Moses had a support team that he relied on in this project. Moses never made it to the promised land. His successor, the young guy on the field, Joshua. Joshua led them into the promised land, not Moses. So is your gift or your call leadership? But in that, you've grown tired. Maybe it's leadership as a father or a mother, or maybe it's a leader as a grandparent in your family, at work. You know, one of the things that Father Richard Rohr has said that makes sense to me is that in our culture, in our church, in our nation, we have a lot of old people. But we don't have a lot of elders. There's a difference. I realize that I cannot stop time. Any of you rail against that? That you wake up and it's like, man, this knee isn't working very well this morning. You know, can I get that sucker going? I can't stop time. But my prayer is that I could be able to provide wise counsel and be an elder. Not just be elderly. Because there's a lot of old people that are just old and crotchety and really, you know, they're not someone that a young person wants to come to for counsel. I mean, it could be argued that my grandma was just kind of out on the edge. But at least my sister went to her for wise counsel. And they processed it. And ultimately what my grandmother decided was that she was going to trust my sister to make good decisions. That was the ultimate play. My mom and dad were quite content in making the decision for her and saying this is a really bad choice and you shouldn't go to Mexico because there's all these kind of horrible things that could happen. And I'm sure that I would have run through all the same scenarios about all the bad things that could happen. But where my grandmother landed with wise counsel was ultimately to trust my sister and that she could make wise choices. She was an adult, clearly a young adult. And Stephen Kim, I'm not recommending that your daughter run off in a pickup truck in Mexico, let me assure you. My wise counsel would probably be, oh, geez, you're really going to do it. And
yeah,
gonna,
well, maybe grandma should go with
you. There you are.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, my grandmother probably would have done that. But she was busy sitting on a stone with somebody holding her arms up because she was old. So where are you with the story? Are you older, still providing leadership? Holding the cross of Christ in your hand as an example, as a beacon of light? As an elder, potentially, that younger people can come to for wise counsel? Are you a young one that now is down on the battlefield, fighting the good fight every day, getting up, going to school, going to work, doing what you need to do, raising money, supporting your family? But at times need direction, need to take direction. Are you someone that is really, really fatigued and complained bitterly about being so tired and yet won't take support or won't ask for help? Doesn't that just frost your cake? When someone just tells you how busy they are and how tired they are, and yet you say, oh, let me give you a hand with that. And they say, no, no, that's fine, I'm good. Had an experience earlier this summer. Went to Midwood to buy mulch. Yeah, there's 40, 50-pound bags of mulch or whatever they are. Buy 35 or 40 bags of mulch and back up the truck and taking these bags of mulch, putting them in the back of the truck. Some young Joshua guy comes running out. Can I help you with that? And I think to myself, my go-to is, no, I got it. Then the elder, wise choice in me, says, absolutely, thank you very much. He says, yeah, I got a grandpa too. No, I got this. You go ahead. What do you mean, grandpa? You know? Sometimes we just need support. If you're a little grayer in the temples and you need support, don't be embarrassed to ask for it. It's okay to say to friends, to family, to strangers, thank you very much. Yeah, I could use your help. Even Moses did that. Even Moses did that. And yet, here's Moses. And he needs someone to support him and help him in this mission. What if your mission is to pray? You're not down on the battlefield in active struggle, but now you're embraced in prayer. That's a huge honor and responsibility to be called by God to pray. And your prayers may be impacting people that you will never meet until well after you're dead. Cue the spider. Bring spider in.
Good job. Poor little guy. Right. Run for your life,
spider. I did. And just let him go. Spider.
Yeah. That's his last game. St. Francis did his job. Yeah.
Well, as my homiletics teacher in the seminary used to say, when you preach, talk about Jesus, talk about love, talk about 10 minutes. So I think I've overrun my gig here. But with the spider ending the homily effectively, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May he let his light shine upon us and give us peace. May we stand and profess our faith.